talk to a younger self, what would you tell yourself? What have you learned over the years that you wish you could whisper into your 18-year-old or 25-year-old self? Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, going back to a topic we discussed, this was probably almost a month ago, and we had so many calls, we wanted to share some of those with you today, and some people who left comments on our comment line, we'll get to those as well, share some of those, so it'll be good. And by the way, I want to say thanks to those of you that came out and joined us for the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night last week. We had a great time at Jack's Naz. Jack's and Naz. Kind of being snazzy Naz, right? Jack's Nazarene, or the Jackson Nazarene Church. Had a great time on Thursday night. And then Friday night, packed, sold out two months ago, in Mount Pleasant at the Community Church. What a great team. The pastor and all the crew involved. Thank you for all your work. Brian, from our own team, thank you. And for the Bryans, not just one, but the Bryans that helped out so much. Thank you. And we had a good time with our Youth Haven staff as well, and Family Life Radio and Intentional Living, and just a good time. So anyway, thanks for being a part of the Intentional Love Marriage Date Nights. We'll do some more of these since we had such a very positive response. What would you tell a younger self? Let me get to the calls that we have on the line. Ray Lynn is first from Michigan. Hi, Ray Lynn. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What would you tell a younger Ray Lynn?
Well, okay, so Ray Lynn is still younger. I'm only 26, but something.
So what would you tell What would you tell a Ray Lynn at 25? You can go back as far as you want, Ray Lynn.
Oh, yeah, because this travels with me. Like, I can remember, you know, being even way younger and thinking it. And something I'm learning right now is, you know, oftentimes we're told to love others the way that God loves us, right, and to treat others that way. But oftentimes I feel like we forget to also love ourselves the way that God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in today's world, in society, I mean, you fall into those beauty standards with all the, you know, just transformations and beauty filters and all that stuff, and really, like, you end up hating yourself, you know, your real self, and that's, like, probably the biggest slap in the face to God.
Like, yeah, and you
know,
guys,
that God thinks you're beautiful and everything.
No, I agree with you, and you all in the younger generation, especially facing what's going on with social media, is that pretty intimidating to you? I mean, to you and your generation, is it, you think this is a pretty pervasive issue?
Oh, yeah, I think it is big time. You end up, like I said, like, you put a filter on, it makes you feel so good, and then as soon as the filter comes off, you're like, who is that? Like, that is not, I don't want to look like that. You start thinking about, like, if I can just lift this piece of skin, if I could get rid of this, if I could have longer eyelashes, or all that other stuff, and really, like, none of that matters. You know,
right.
Like, God thinks you're beautiful no matter what, and it doesn't even happen with just girls, but I have a younger brother, too, and, you know, when he looks at magazines and, like, sports guys, you know, they're all, like, built and muscular, and he's not. So then he starts, you know, comparing himself, and I'm like, you don't need to worry about that. Like, you're you, and that's all that matters.
How do you manage that? Do you stay away from those sites, or, I mean, you probably struggle with, how do you handle it?
So right now, because I am a mom of four, and I was noticing I was on my phone all the time, and also, like I said, comparing myself with, like, pictures and stuff like that. So I deleted all my social media apps, and I did it not only because I noticed, like, my dad pointed out, every time I took a picture, I'd use a filter. So I knew that was an issue, and I didn't want to be that person anymore. But also, I did it just simply because my kids deserve a more present mom, and my husband deserves a more present wife, and somebody that's not always, you know, putting themselves down and comparing themselves to these unrealistic beauty standards all the time.
So
that's what I've had to do.
So you have four kids?
Moving away.
You're a mom with four kids? And how old did you say you are? Really?
26.
26, four kids.
I turned 26 on Friday. So.
Well, God bless you. You'll be a young grandma someday.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully not too young.
Yeah, I understand. Well, thank you, Ray Lynn. That's a great perspective from someone from your generation to remind us that, especially now, you know, God sees us with no filters. He just sees who we are, loves us for who we are, doesn't need a filter to love us. And that's a good reminder. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, glad you're listening. I was thinking about filters. Would that help me, Jennifer, to get a filter for my picture? It's going to have to be a top-end filter, I'll tell you that. Oh, yeah, I understand. That'd be a whole show talking about the stress that we have and how to be intentional with digital media and with the internet and what goes on with social media for people as well. All right, let me see here. Let's go to Deborah, who's on the phone as well. Deborah is in Arizona. Hi, Deborah. How you doing?
I am well, Randy. And yourself?
Good. Doing well. Thank you. Good. Appreciate your call. What would you tell a younger self?
I would tell myself to be more forgiving of myself. I spent the first several years of our marriage apologizing for everything. Hmm. And my husband finally said, "Will you stop saying I'm sorry? It's not all your fault." And I think it was from how I was raised, being the second oldest of seven kids and the oldest girl. Mm. There was a lot of responsibility. And we heard a lot about all the things we did wrong, but not so much the good things. And anyway.
So your husband was a help to you.
He was. He was. We've been married 48 years, and he's quite the helper. But and also, we did a Holy Spirit seminar at church a few years ago, and I realized I was still carrying guilt, and that I needed to forgive myself literally, so I could move on and be the person that God wants me to be.
Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear it. Sometimes it takes us a few years to get to the place we wish we'd have been at when we were younger, right, Deborah?
Quite a few.
But we never stop learning, at least we shouldn't.
Correct.
That's for sure. Correct. All right, well, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Randy.
All right. Tell you what, Amanda, hang on. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Take your call from Arizona Live and what you've learned you want to share with others in about a minute or so.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
What do you wish you had known about money back then that you know now? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson here at Intentional Living. It says in Proverbs 21 that the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Ouch, that's painful. You know, a lack of financial literacy has cost Americans $415 billion in 1 year, 2020. You know, money will either bring you great freedom or great frustration. So here's my challenge. One thing. Follow the 10-10-80 principle of intentional living. It's a formula starting today that can change your life. 10% is a tithe. At least 10% to save on a regular basis, no matter what. And then learn to live on the other 80%. When you do this one thing, it's going to change your life and it's going to be intentional living.
Want to be encouraged every day? Get the Intentional Living Minute in your email. Sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
Hey, listen, thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. Thank you for your prayers and support. Thank you for standing with us. I really appreciate over this. You know, it's been a busy month. We had our share-a-thon about a month ago, and then our conferences, our Intentional Love Marriage Date Nights, and had such fun meeting so many of you across Michigan. It was a lot of fun. I just want to say we couldn't do this without your prayers and without your support, and we appreciate it. Again, if you want to know more, what is intentional living? What does it mean to be an intentional person of intentionality when it comes to your faith and your family and the things that matter? You can check it out at theintentionallife.com. Today, we're just kind of reflecting back on one thing you wish you'd known or you did know and you didn't apply, but you know now to a younger self. Let's find out what Amanda has to contribute from Arizona.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What would you tell a younger self?
Well, you know, we see truth unfold before our eyes every day, whatever the truth of that day is. And, you know, the truth of God's word is, has been evident to me since childhood and, you know, just through the years, letting my own little deception from whatever the world offers, you know, instead of Christ. And, you know, I was learning to live, wishing I knew then the truth and accepted it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Instead of knowing and seeing it evident, but not following it or accepting it, you know? And so
that's a pretty universal problem. We think we're smarter than when we're growing up. We think we're smarter than our parents. And then if we can, even as we become a young believer, it's easy for us to think we're smarter than God. And over the year, I think what happens over the years as we get beat up in life, I mean that in figurative terms, we get, you know, emotionally or relationally, we start to realize that our dependence is on Him. And that's what I hear in your voice. Hey, I wish I'd learned that back then have to go through all this stuff to get to where I am today.
Well, that's what I'm calling today. I need to let Him know, you know, before the world that, you know, I haven't been living that. I haven't been trusting in Him, and I've been trusting in everything else but Him. And I'm finally, you know, hitting my bottom, I guess you could say, where I'm realizing all those people that He put in my life to get my faith with Him and God's word, and everybody telling me to read God's word. And I know, but I can't. And today I need to own up and say, you know what? God gave me this grace, and I'm grateful for it. And so I got to start living in it.
Well, let me ask you, do you know Christ personally? Have you given your life to Him?
Yes, I did.
Amen.
2 years ago in July, I gave my life to the Lord. And I thought I had known that my whole life, you know, but I really didn't. And then this last couple of years has been put to the test, and I've been failing it. And I, you know, He's given me too much grace to keep failing, you know, and letting Him down, who gave me so much more, you know.
He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, no matter what you're going through. And I understand those deep valleys, you can feel like God's way distant. Are you feeling kind of like a reset point in your life? Like, hey, I know this, and I've accepted Christ. It's time to really start living it intentionally. Yeah. Is that what you're really saying?
Yes.
Okay, listen. Think about it in terms of a reset today. Just like when you reboot a computer or reboot your phone, it's sort of like, hey, I'm turning off the old, I'm turning off what ain't working, and I'm turning on what I know. Now, do you have some people in your life, you implied you have some people in your life that you trust, but you kind of not included them.
I alienated from them all.
What's that?
I've alienated from them all because, you know, my own pride, I guess, you know.
What about picking up the phone to that one person? I don't know if it's a parent or sibling or whatever, and say, I've been wrong and I've alienated you and I really need to connect with you.
I will do that as soon as I hang up with you guys.
You know who that person's going to be? You know who that's going to be? Okay. Can I pray with you?
Yes. Her name is Pam. Miss Pam.
Okay. Can I pray for you that Pam will be receptive when you call and that you will proceed and realize, hey, listen, the beauty of being at the bottom is you can look up.
Yep. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. I've talked to a lot of people at the bottom. I guess that's what you do when you're in the kind of work I'm in. You talk to people at the bottom, and I tell them, look, be reminded, God's mercies are new every morning. The sun's coming up tomorrow. It can be a better day, and I don't want to be Pollyanna about this, but the reality is we can make a decision to say, God, I am sick and tired of this. I need you, and I'm going to make better decisions starting today, and I'm going to get some people in my life. And I'm going to take these baby steps. You're going to have maybe two steps forward and a step back, whatever. But that I'm at the bottom and I'm going to stop digging and I'm going to start moving in a better direction in my life. And if what I hear you say, Amanda, that's something that you want to start doing today.
Yes.
All right. Can I pray with you?
Yes.
All right. Father, I do pray for Pam, for Amanda and for Pam. As she picks up that phone and she calls her friend Pam, that Pam will be receptive, that her heart will be tenderized. Maybe she's been hurt. Maybe she feels alienated and distant. I don't know. But I pray you'll open the door for that. And even if that door doesn't open, that she'll find another door, that she will continue to reach out and find that connection point, because there are people in her life who love her and are concerned for her and want the best for her, just like we do and you do as her father. And I pray that you'll encourage her to take that step today and not give up. When she falls down, to get back up, trust you and keep moving, knowing that you're with her today, that you'll reach down, encourage your heart, lift her up, draw her to yourself, and help her to that next step. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Amanda, listen, we got a lot of people who will be praying for you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
And I do have a chain of women to call to for my church. So.
All right. Then you keep calling and you keep connecting and you keep reaching out. One of the best ways to start digging, getting out of the pit, is to have some people help you out. Then he gives us the little steps to this process. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then after these things were said, then this verse shows up. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding or surpasses that, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we want to have peace without the process. We want to have peace without the process. So when we're struggling with peace in our life, let's remember this little formula that Paul gives us beautifully in Philippians chapter 4. This is intentional living. You know, you're looking for peace. Peace, that's the topic this month of April, the finding peace. And Paul gives us a beautiful formula. I mean, you talk about a guy that we read about in Scripture that had every reason not to be in peace, but in pieces, was the Apostle Paul. And yet he experienced peace, and he gives us a beautiful biblical formula for experiencing peace. Very practical, because here at Intentional Living, we don't want to live up here. We want to live right down where you're living. And so watch for this lesson. It'll be coming out, probably already out from most of you here by the mid-month, later part of the month, both video and audio on the topic of peace. And if you're not a member, I guess I would only ask, why not? Because we need you, and I think we need each other. And so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. You can be a part of Intentional Living by calling during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com. A lot of interesting calls coming in. We've got so many who have shared with us about things they wish they had known when they were younger. The good news is you're never going to be younger than you are today. So learn and grow. That's part of life. Sharon's going to join us here in Georgia. Hey, Sharon, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good. Good. What do you wish you'd known as a younger Sharon?
That people's opinions of me mattered a whole lot less than what my life was all about. I was always real conscious of, do they like me? I was shy, and I had a hard time getting to know people. And it really crippled a lot. And I'm 65 now, and in the last 10 or 15 years, I've learned to stand on my own. And if you like me, you like me. And if you don't, you don't. But I'm not changing to fit your pattern. I'm going to continue to march to mine. And I wish I'd have known that when I was 20 or 25.
You know,
because I'd have been a lot happier.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, and a lot of people, you know, we've written books and done conferences on pleasers. And, you know, the Bible, as Christians, the Bible says that we are to think not only of our own interest, but the interest of others. But I don't know of any place in Scripture where the Bible really tells us to be a doormat.
Right.
You know, turn the other cheek. I get that. I mean, that takes strength to turn the other cheek. But you stand, you're there, but you're there because you love that person. But at the same time, not to be in a place where you always have to be pleasing people. Is that the way you kind of grew up? You feel like you had to please everybody?
Yes, it was. It was very much impressed on us that as women, we were supposed to be pleasant and we were supposed to be responsible and we were supposed to be obedient. But I spent probably the first 10 or 15 years of my marriage walking on eggshells. So I wouldn't trip his trigger temper, which was when he got mad, he was very angry, and I had to learn to walk away from it.
Yeah.
And just not engage. If things didn't go his way, he could be very unpleasant. And I finally picked up and said, enough. I'm done. I'm not walking on eggshells. If you're not happy with something, you need to talk about it like a civilized person. But if you want to pitch a temper tantrum, I'm out of here.
Wow. So how did he respond to that?
He wasn't too thrilled at first, but it really helped our relationship overall. We were married right at 41 years before he passed away, so evidently it worked to a certain level. He never did get to where he totally controlled his temper. He could be very crabby, very irritable about things, and part of it was that was his background with his parents and his family, and I said, that's okay, that I understand where it comes from, but you have to control yourself.
Yeah.
And he really did well most of the time, and after we had those few conversations.
How did you feel? Let me ask you, how did you feel being able to stand up to that in terms of just addressing that with him? How did that make you feel afterward?
Oh, it made me feel good. Yeah. I felt like I had finally taken control of me, which was scary to me to a certain point.
And the world
because
didn't...
I'd always been, you know, I was the one that I told somebody one time that whatever else they put on my tombstone, it's going to say she was responsible. And I felt like I was responsible for everything.
Yeah.
If you're not happy, then it's my fault. If you're upset, it's my fault.
If it's raining out, it's your fault.
Right. That's kind of how I felt about things.
Yeah. And I think
whatever's wrong, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to get over that.
And as you did, you realize as you develop that, what I would call a healthy assertiveness. We got a lot of unhealthy assertiveness in our culture. Let's face it. There's some people who are just plain overly assertive. I mean, they're bossy and controlling. That's not assertiveness. Assertiveness is being able to say, hey, you know, can we talk about this? I'm not happy about this. This is something we need to discuss. And what happens, I think, was you realize when you do that, the world didn't fall apart. In fact, your husband probably respected you more because you were willing to share your heart and what's going on and put some boundaries in place, which is important. Okay, thank you. I appreciate your call. That was a really interesting discussion from Georgia. Thank you, Sharon. We're talking about this whole thing of, you know, what would you tell a younger self? Yeah? Do we have a break? Do we have a break to take? No? No, we don't? Okay. I'm having so much fun talking to people. I don't know. I want to follow the rules. No rules, no breaks. All right. All right. Let's go to some of the comments that came in on our comment line to wrap up the show today. Let's go to Michelle and hear what she has for us.
Well, I am 55 years young, and I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 11 years old. And if I could go back, I would tell that younger me, Michelle, remember these things. There is no love in the universe that exists that is greater than the love of God. Your worth, your identity, your purpose, and your meaning come from God and God alone. Press into Him, stay under the protective cover of His wings, seek His discernment, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on a daily basis. Obey Him and trust Him in all ways, and you can't go wrong, because He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And He works all things together for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. I've had a very rough life and endured a lot of things and made a lot of bad choices throughout my life. And you can avoid all of that stuff if you just press into Jesus, be obedient to Him, and be who He tells you to be.
Yeah, amen to that. Very, very smart. All right, that's from our comment line. We got so many more we're not going to get to, but while that was playing, Jennifer, you mentioned something that a friend of you told you about, this thing of people who are, you know, you're worried about what people think of you and what they say about you. I mean, many of us struggle with that, and it sounded like you had a bit of wisdom shared with you.
Yeah, it was what others think of you uh-huh. is none of your business. And it's just so simple. Yeah. But if you think that in your mind, it just kind of goes away. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter what they think.
What they're thinking, that's their business, not me.
Yeah. God knows who you are.
Yeah. In fact, I would say to all of us who struggle with this thing of feeling like we have to, you know, measure up and we're responsible, like she said, I'm responsible for everything. There's an element, and I say this kindly because I don't want to lay guilt on you folks, because I'm with you, but that can be prideful. Because you start to feel like I'm responsible for everything. And in a way, it becomes almost godlike. Like I have to take care of everything. And it can become very controlling in its own unhealthy ways. So anyway, that's been good. It's been very interesting. All right. I think we've got time quickly for one more that came from the comment line. Here's Anna with her one thing. Take a listen.
If I could tell something to my younger self, I would tell myself, you need God in your daily life. You need to go to church. I used to think I have God in my life because I believe in Him. But little did I know, didn't know God at all, like I do now. And honestly, I don't know how I did it all these years without Him. Because the last 3-4 years in my life has just been amazing. That's something I would definitely tell my younger self.
Thank you, Anna. Listen, to each of you who took time to call to be a part of the show, those of you who have called and commented on our comment line, we leave that open to you. And if you would like to tell us one thing you would tell a younger you, what would it be? Call 888-888-1717. Please take a few minutes and stop by our website at theintentionallife.com. A lot of helpful information there, resources, our access to our blogs, to our Intentional Living Minutes, to all of our past programs. All there you can find out at theintentionallife.com. To our Facebook friends who are joining us live today for the show, thank you for being a part of the Intentional Living Ministry. And a special giant thank you to all of our support team, those of you who so faithfully have joined with us, been a part of this, and continue with this on a regular monthly basis. Thank you for your support. And then to my team here, thank you, Jennifer, our engineer, Stephen, our senior engineer, our producer who pulls all this together, Gina, who makes, Gina making sure Facebook is working live and well, and then especially to my wife, Donna. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow with more Intentional Living.